When you save on auto insurance for driving safe with USAA SafePilot, you'll feel like a big deal. Even in a traffic jam. Save up to 30% with USAA SafePilot. Restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Let's make some noise, come on!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of the Broad Street Line. I am Roy Burton. Alongside me, as always, my tag team partner, a man who is also on the short list for the Temple University basketball, men's basketball head coach opening one, Chris Domingo. Mr. Domingo, how are you doing, as always, as we say during the pandemic, this air quote Saturday morning, sir?
Roy, I'm doing tremendous. And I always love a guest that we can bring on that brings up references like the king of all media. I mean, that is something that I have not heard, like, I don't know, in decades, literally. So I am excited to bring this gentleman on.
We're going to have some throwback references on this show. We'll probably get, again, a Dino Bravo reference at some point when we start talking wrestling. We got a lot of stuff to get into with our guests on the show today, host and owner of PhillyGoFlow.com and host the Best in the World Sports Podcast, my good friend, Jonathan Brown. John, how's it going, man?
Hey, John. Good, man. What's going on, gentlemen? This man said I was going to throw out a Dino Bravo reference. I got them. I got it. You give me an hour, I will work Dino Bravo into this show. What, you know, however you want Dino Bravo, you want a Bastion Booger, the Gobbledygooker.
There you go.
You know, if we're going to talk wrestling, I will bring that up.
We're gonna get
He's probably the guy that runs that gimmicks go wrong Twitter handle.
It's a good Twitter handle though. That's it a good is. Follow. That's a quality follower.
It really is. Now we're gonna talk some wrestling later in the show. We're gonna talk some football, some basketball, all sorts of good stuff. We have a lot of stuff to get to on this edition of the Broad Street Line. Again, you can follow us wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Spotify. Do us a solid while you're doing all the follows and follow our guest on Twitter. He is at JLB from DVM. John, let me kind of start from, I don't want to say the beginning, but let me kind of start about your background. And then you talk about your background a little bit. I caught your interview a couple of weeks back with the good brother Brian Waters on his Breaking Through Glass Ceilings podcast. Shout out to Brian.
Yeah, so I'm stepping my features game up right now. I need to start doing more features. I need to do more guest spots.
Yeah, but say we gotta get you on, hop on somebody's podcast, give them 16 bars, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I'm trying to be the Lil Wayne of podcasts now.
There you go. You said on Brian's podcast that you've been basically, I think I'm quoting you right, feeding your family with TV money for more than two decades.
Yes.
Behind the camera, on the floor, for various networks, locally and even, down in the DMV area.
I'm out here just testing security right now. That's all I do. If I can get into a studio somehow and man a camera, I will do it in order to put food on the table, in order to feed a kid, But y'all know, people that listen to this podcast know kids are expensive. I got it. They kids won't stop eating. You push them to be the best. You tell them, hey, do whatever you want to do. And the next thing you know, they want to go to college. They want to do things like that. That stuff costs money.
Yeah, man. No,
and
I hear
this
you.
This is all I can do.
No, but you've been in the game for a while. Let me just in general, what kind of led you to get into the TV business?
This always fascinated me. Television, radio always fascinated me. This was always a thing between me and my brother, my younger brother, Joel, who lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. This was always our thing. When we were kids, we had tape recorders, little My First Sony tape recorders, and we would make radio shows in the bedroom, just sitting there recording songs off the radio, thinking we could be better than Jerry Wells and Doug Henderson on WDAS. Mm-hmm. we were always news watchers. My family, my parents were always, they're very big on staying up on current events. So during dinner time, Action News was always on. Mm-hmm. In fact, I told a story on Brian's show. One day, just during Action News, the floor director accidentally stepped in front of the camera And I thought he was cool. It was a mistake. He looked up at camera. He looked up at the camera, saw he was on, and ran off the screen real quick. It was like a split second. But he had this big headset on, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I was like, oh, my God, I want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, who is that guy? I see him run off. He must be important because he has a really, really big headset. That's what I thought. And that kind of started pretty much my love, my interest in television and radio. Went to North Penn High School. North Penn High School had their own television station. So nice. I started there and was able to parlay that into going to the greatest HBCU in the world, Morgan State University. Go Bears.
Shout out to the Bears.
Yes. And from there, just was able to finagle that into a job. And then next thing you know, TV money is paying my rent. TV money is paying for a wedding, and then paying for a wife, and then paying for children, and then paying for more children, and then paying for more children, and so on and so forth.
No, but you again, you had a great career, you know, up and down, I'll say, the yeah. Eastern Seaboard. You know, now, of course, you're in the Philly area, and you're at the yes. floor director, Fox 29.
Home. Yes.
Home, thank Philly. You. Fox 29.
Yes, this is my home. This
is my home. Working alongside the good folks at Good Day Philadelphia. Yes. How much fun is it, you know, working with Alex Holley and Mike Jarrett every morning?
It's not fun at all. Those are not good people. No, it's a lot of fun. Honestly, for me, like I said, I was always intrigued by the behind the scenes aspect of television and radio. You know, we all see what's going on over the air. We see what's happening, but very few people get to see what happens when the commercial break hits. Yeah. Very few people see the preparation, what happens right before that red light comes on. And that is the thing that always interests me. That's the thing that's always driven me, that's always kept me coming back, that's always said that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I want to do. I can't do anything else. You know, and working with Mike and Alex, you know, they're two great people. You know, Mike is somebody who's done this for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just got a bevy of knowledge. And honestly, always just being able to interact with him on a level that other people don't and other people can't is always something that is cool with me. You know, I get to hear what he says when the mic isn't on.
Right.
You know, I get to hear his opinion. And Alex, too. Watching Alex grow, watching Alex's career has been great. I think she's a talented woman. I think, you know, she just a ball of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a woman that just has just an energy and a light that is just beautiful to see, beautiful to work with. So it's a cool thing. You know, plus it pays the bills.
Now, John, you've been doing it all these years, like behind TV, and do you still get that same like exhilarating feeling when all the prep and all the like, I don't know, the behind the scenes stuff comes, like, I don't know, gets done and you see the product, then you see like, okay, and like, I don't know, and obviously there's got to be, I don't know, like barriers or whatever, like things that, like, I don't know, get in the way of like producing something, but like you still get that same, like, I don't know, rush of television.
Yeah, I do, and sometimes it's crazy because this year will be, you know, I can't even think about it. I've just been doing this a long time, but you still get the rush, especially, you know, the big news stories, you know, the breaking news. I've been through them all, you know, the highs, the lows, the really great stories, the really sad stories. Yeah. So, you know, I've watched them all transpire. And honestly, it does, you know, when you do good work, and you two know, because, you know, I know that y'all have done this show for a long time, and y'all are great at what you do. Thank and you. It doesn't matter, and no matter what you do, you know when you've done a good job.
Yeah.
You know, you know, when y'all do, when you do a show, and I know y'all feel this because y'all kill it every week, you know, and when you've killed it, when you go out there, you do a good job, and you know you killed it, you feel good, you know, you feel fulfilled, and like, you know, we always talk about giving people their flowers, and I always say, man, it's good to smell them too.
Yeah.
You know, and ain't nothing wrong. And sometimes there ain't nothing wrong with buying your own flowers. Sometimes you ain't nothing wrong with buying your own flowers sometimes and say, you know what, man? I did all right. Yeah. You did okay. And sometimes, so, you know, there are times, you know, might be a long day, but you look back at the covers you did. You look back at the team you did, you know, the team you worked with, what you did that day and said, you know what, man, we did all right. We did okay.
No, you definitely, again, you know, you've been part of great teams. You've seen great teams in action. Yes. Yes. You know, we talked about Fox 29, but again, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about way back when. Got to go to the local angle. Uh-huh. You came back home. You were the floor director for Breakfast on Broad. What was then Comcast Sportsnet?
Yes. You
know, Rob Ellis, Sarah Baker, Barrett Brooks.
Again, those good people.
How much fun was it to be part of that team?
I'm not going to lie. That was probably the most fun I had professionally in this city. That was, you know, and like I've always try not to mess up money, you know, because although I don't work at that network anymore, you know, there might be a time when I might have to tuck my tail between my legs and go back there and hey, can you hook a brother up? But you know, I was sad to see that show go.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of fun. That was a good mix of people. I didn't know Barrett Brooks before. I knew Rob Ellis. I kind of knew Sarah Baker before then, but not as well as I did once we started working on that show. But I'd never met Barrett Brooks before in my life. And that was really the first time I had got to really, really interact with a former player. Like someone to come in, you know, he would come in. And the stories that he tells on the air are really good, but honestly, the stories that he can't tell on the air and that he can't tell it in front of a camera or in front of a microphone are 10 times better. And I always enjoyed that. You know, one of my favorite memories is we started a fantasy football league the first year Breakfast on Broad was on the air. Mm-hmm. And Barrett Brooks, good brother, you know, he thought because he played in the league, this was his first time ever doing fantasy football. Mm-hmm. And he just thought because he played football, because he had a pro career, he just had this excellent knowledge of football that would help him build a team and go off and just win everything. His team was garbage, man. His team was straight trash. So, but I bet this man. So I said, you know, when it's time for his team to play mine, I bet him. I said, hey, man, if I beat you, I get to wear your Super Bowl ring for an entire day.
Nice.
Now, I didn't even make a bet if I was going to lose. I wasn't going to lose because it's trash. But of course I won. And I got to wear that Super Bowl ring for the whole day. And I was, you know, Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
You see him on TV. You know, you see the pictures, whatever. I got to wear it. And, it was a good time. Really, you know. I'm a big dude. I got big hands, but I didn't play in the league. I'm not a former NFL lineman. So I got big civilian hands. Barrett has big football playing hands.
Yeah.
So as big as I'm a big dude, but my hands aren't as big as Barrett. So I'm sitting there. I put his ring on. Ring was too big for me.
Jeez.
And I was just afraid. I didn't want the ring to fall off my finger. I didn't want to look. Right. Like, I didn't want to be in the paper, fool, lose a Super Bowl ring. You know, I was scared, but it was a good thing. It was a good time, man. I loved it.
That's good stuff. No, Barrett's a good dude. You know,
I had a pleasure
to work with him, you know, when I was at NBC Sports Philly. Had a pleasure working with you.
I wish I'd work with you more often, man.
I
would see you around, and we used to talk, and it was like when Eagles Outsiders came along, I was kind of on my way out of that place, and I was like, I would see you, and just the way the schedules were, a lot of times when you were coming in, I was on my way out, and I never, you know, other than, you know, look, you know how the brothers are. The brothers give each other the nod in the hallway, I see Roy give him the nod, and the same with Sixers. I would give Crystal and Ty the nod, and that'd pretty much be all. That'd be the length of our conversation. I would say that Ty was a friend of mine, but for years, all we would ever say was, So
That speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. But JB again was working with that NBC Sports Philly when I was there. You know, he helped me, you know, get, because I didn't know how to put on a mic for like a month, 2 months. So I know there's one time that John had to help me out, you know, get mic'd
that's
up.
All good. Show, yeah. You know? It happens. Those microphones are tricky.
They are tricky.
They're very tricky.
No, but seriously though, no, thank you again for everything, all the guidance you gave me while I was there, and you know,
I liked what you do, man. I always like what you do, always admired what you do, you know, and always like, you know, and respect all the people who look like us in this city. And while back, you know, someone that, in fact, shout out to Renee Washington, who created that collective of Black journalists.
Yeah.
And it, like, I just met a good group of people. You were one of them. You, OJ, Spivey, my man, Javon Alford. You know, it's like I always respected your work, always like what you do. And I always like people who take control and do for themselves. So you were always somebody I admired professionally. So when you came, when they brought you in at Sports, and I was like, oh, that's good money right there. That's a good deal. It's a good idea. Should have stuck with that. And the people who are watching, who I y'all should have stuck with that. Y'all should have kept Birds Outsiders on the air.
I didn't pay him to say this. I'm just saying.
It's all good. You ain't got to pay. Look, man, those same people know me. You know, they knew I had an opinion. I was never afraid to voice my opinion, say what's on my mind. And maybe that's why I was never given a show on the Comcast Sportsnet.
No, definitely all good. But again, you've made your, you know, way in this TV industry. And again, it's hard. I mean, again, like you know more than us, and like, you know, how much stuff you have to deal with. People in general have to deal with in this TV industry, especially in this city. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people, again, this show was broadcast on Philly Cam Radio, 106.5 FM. A lot of people who have shows on this TV station, have shows on this radio station, you know, they want to explore careers in the TV industry. You know, they want to be on a Fox 9 or NBC Sports Philly and things like that. Again, you've seen, you know, people come through, people kind of flame out, you know, people have 20, 30 year careers. If you could give somebody, you know, who's trying to break into the industry, one piece of advice on how to kind of make their mark in TV or kind of get a start in TV, what would it be?
One, don't be a jerk. that's first and foremost, like, for real, don't be a jerk. That's first and foremost. You know, I understand that especially in sports commentary, you know, everybody wants to be edgy, everybody wants to have their opinion, everybody wants to have their take. And the cool thing is to act as if your opinion is beyond reproach. But honestly, I've never been one to try and burn bridges. You know, I've tried to be somebody who, even if I disagreed with them, was cool with everybody, you know, respected everybody, even people I didn't agree with, you know, at least they know that my opinion, although it might be different from theirs, it comes from a place of respect. Mm-hmm. So my advice has always been, one, interact with people. I'm somebody who pretty much, if you are a fan of Philadelphia sports and you share your opinion publicly, more than likely you're going to get into it with me at some point in time in your travels, you know? And for me, it was like always just trying to make the most of what I had. You know, I was somebody, I was able to work in television, and although I was never in front of the camera, in front of the microphone for any of these organizations, I had good relationships with people in the newsroom, in the studio, who I respected and respected my opinions, who I could always go to. And, you know, for the most part, people in this city are nice people. Like, they're some jerks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can have that conversation, you know, another time or whatever. There are some jerks, but for the most part, people are cool. And if you have a knowledgeable opinion and you don't treat people like a jerk, you don't act like you're smarter than people, and you don't act like people who, if you don't act like the people who disagree with you are stupid, you know, they'll interact with you and they'll respect you. So just treat people with respect. Keep on interacting. Don't be, you know, don't be pushy. You know, try and get all up in people's business that you don't know, you know, it's stuff like that. Just don't be a jerk and you'll be all right. You'll get far, And don't be afraid to take chances on your own. You know, my whole thing was, like, I started the podcast, and I started the podcast. The podcast led to radio, but I was in a place where I felt like I needed to jumpstart a part of my career. Things weren't you know, I was working in this city, but I wasn't I felt like I wasn't doing enough, and I needed some sort of outlet to kind of to jumpstart some things. And I started podcasting. You know, it started to look like that was the thing to do. This was about 6-7 years ago, and I just researched it, figured out what I needed to do to get it started. Shout out to Justin Watson of New Twist Radio. And he gave me an opportunity. He said, "Hey man, I got a microphone, I got a station. If you come through, you come to my crib once a week, I'll give you a show." Mm-hmm. I'm like, alright, you know, what else do I gotta do? Bring some chicken wings, bring some soda, bring some beer, whatever. Okay,
right.
And from there, just using the connections. Like, I knew people in the newsroom. I started just bringing like writers and producers because they were like me. They were people with opinions, but never really had an opportunity to get in front of a microphone. So I said, "Hey, why don't you share your opinions, share your views with me on my show?" And, you know, we took off from there. And from there, a couple of people in front of the camera took notice, and they were like, "Hey man, how come you haven't asked me to be on your podcast?" And I'm like, "Die." So, like, okay.
Yeah.
And from there, I was able to do some things, and a couple people from like different stations, other people started to take notice. The next thing you know, I'm getting a couple former players, getting people from the radio station, and just building, and from there, just building relationships.
Yeah.
You know, just having takes that don't suck and respecting people. You know, not coming out here saying stupid stuff. And fighting some of the narratives, the bad narratives of Philly sports that, you know, you're used to. You've heard them.
We
got trade this guy, blow this team up. You know, challenging that and while respecting people, and I was able to find a little bit of success.
We're talking with Jonathan Brown again, host.
Yes, you are.
PhillyGoFlow.com, host, best in the world of sports.
Man, that is me.
Man with no bad takes.
And no bad takes. Never served a bad take in my life.
Well, attack bad takes on Twitter.
That's a lie. I'm full of bad takes.
Yeah, no, I think
I'm also somebody. I'm not somebody who is famous enough to deny bad takes. You're talking to, you can tell the people, you're talking to John Brown. John Brown was the guy who said, "No, don't draft Carson Wentz. We should stick with Sam Bradford." Mm-hmm. That is what I say. That was terribly wrong.
But John, a true man of the people owns their bad takes. Yes. Like we do, because I feel that this is another thing of just TV and sports people is the inability to kind of just say, "You know what? I'm not Nostradamus. I got that take wrong. My bad. I was wrong." And I feel that that's what I respect about, like, I don't know, people like you that, like, I don't know, say, "You know what? I had a bad take. It was a bad day. My kids were just a pain. And, like, I don't know, I said something like Sam Bradford." No, but, like, there are just these things that, like, I don't know, like you said, you just, like, your kind of diatribe about it wasn't just, like, like an outlook on trade, like your career. I think it's an outlook on life. Like, I don't know, treat people with respect. If you disagree about football, that doesn't mean they're a terrible person. That just means they just have the wrong opinion. Like, they just have a differing, like, outlook on a football team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just treat people with respect, man. You know, look, I try to respect people, but I'm also, you know, I'm also kind of quick with it. You know, I will give people the smoke if they ask for it. You know, I will, but I try not to. I try to respect people, but if you ask me, if you beg me for the smoke, I'll give it to you. But, you know, for the most part, yes, I try to respect people, man. Don't try to call people out their names. Don't try to, you know, call people stupid. You know, I'm just like, hey, I'm out here talking football. Talking basketball, talking baseball. I don't even talk hockey. You know, I used to have a podcast, Brothers Talking Pucks. It was the greatest thing in hockey. Me and Tim Parker, brothers talking pucks every week.
Shout out to Tim. But yes. but no, it's like, yeah, like just again, treat people with respect. But again, like, you know, but admit to your failures, admit to your wrong. Again, like I can come on here in this radio station or this radio station and say I've had probably half a dozen bad takes about Ben Simmons. Like he'll turn it around. He'll be a perennial all-star. He'll be this, that, and other. Yeah. I've had that take. You can go for it.
I can actually say I've never had a bad take about Ben Simmons. I've had a bad take about almost everything under the sun. Ben Simmons, however, I am the soothsayer, and you can run back the tapes on that.
Shout out to my man Mike Jones. He hosts the Jonesy and Brown podcast with me. He's with you. He thought Ben Simmons, he didn't have a lot of hope for him. I did, and it's painful. let me tell you something. I was working breakfast on Broad when we won the lottery. Mm-hmm. Scott O'Neill was still with the Sixers. I was still the floor director of Breakfast on Broad. Scott O'Neill comes in the very next day after we won the lottery to have the number one pick. We all knew it was going to be Ben Simmons. He hugs me. Like real, not even the bro hug, you know, where like you put the little forearm barrier.
The white guy bear hug.
Yeah, you know, he gave me the full two arm. Like I don't know that man, and it was cool. You know, it was all right. Yeah, me, I'm look, man. That's who I am. I'm a hugger too. It's all good. I understand, but that's like that man didn't know me. He just came. Okay, here's the CEO of the Sixers,
right,
hugging another grown man that he just doesn't know. But it was we were excited. We knew Ben Simmons was coming. I'm like, okay, we're gonna have this big 6'10 point guard to go with all these other 6'10 dudes because right. You know, I got a lot wrong about the process. I was excited. We had like 17 different centers at the same time, and I was happy for all of them. I was like, all right, yes. Like, why should we have to trade Nerlens Noel, Ja Okafor, and Joel Embiid? Play all three of them.
Center City.
Center City.
You got the gift out there or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. Center City. I was excited. Wrong. Yeah, I was just wrong.
The Sixers broke a lot of our hearts, and maybe we'll talk about them later. Probably not, because we got some Eagles to talk about. Let's talk about the Eagles, a team that makes us happy, or that has made us happy in the last more recently than other Philly sports teams. The Eagles making some moves in the free agent market, mostly re-signing their own guys. Welcome back, James Bradbury, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Boston Scott, Brandon Graham. Welcome to Philly. Rashad Penny, who's maybe RB1, maybe RB1A, who knows? And I imagine Darius Slay is coming back, but we have no idea because it's the weirdest thing in the world. No one has any clue on it. So let's just assume he comes back.
Yeah, he's
given what we've seen, given the re-signings and given the addition of Rashad Penny, what do you think about this offseason so far for Howie Roseman?
So far, I'm good with it. I think if anything else, above all else, the one thing Howie Roseman has earned is patience. And that's something that we don't do in this city a lot. We don't give patience a lot. But I think if any general manager, if any front office person in this city has truly earned patience, it is Howie Roseman. So for me, you know, right now I'm good. I like the fact that BG is back. You know, we didn't break the bank on him. I want to see BG and Fletcher Cox both retire as Eagles.
Yeah.
Not quite sure if that's going to happen because they both seem to have a lot left in the tank, a couple more seasons in the tank, but I'm glad they're back. So far so good. You know, sorry to see Miles Sanders go, but not so sorry that I'm out here like, what are y'all doing?
I'm not sorry.
Cool. I mean, that's cool. To me, I'm not broken up about it. You know, he's gone. But
now, will you be broken up if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson isn't here?
No. I'd be disappointed. But like I said, you know, Howie deserves patience. So if Gardner-Johnson leaves, Howie has at least earned the right to show me his plan to replace him. You know, let's see who they get in the draft. Let's see what other free agents that they got. Because honestly, when we signed Gardner Johnson. Right. When we signed Bradbury, who would have said a year later when they're up for free agency, we would miss them? Mm-hmm. Did you think you were going to miss guys like that?
Not to this extent. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right. So we're at the point that two guys that they had brought in really to fill holes mm-hmm. are now like intricate parts of this team where you're like, whoa, we can't lose them. Yeah. So now I'm like, yes, you know, losing Gardner Johnson would suck, but let's see how we can find to fill that hole. He's at least earned that. Now, if we're going into a season and 3-4 games into the season, we're like, man, why did we let Gardner Johnson go?
Right.
That's the story.
Right.
But for right now, I'm cool with what they did. I'm cool with how this – I'm cool for March. I'm cool for the middle of March.
I'm glad you put that qualifier on there. Because, again, a lot of people, you know, like freak out. You know, like, again, we're a month and, you know, 5 weeks away, 6 weeks away from the draft. And then, you know, there's probably going to be another round of free agency and cuts and things like that. People freak out like an hour into, they are 5 minutes into free agency or the legal tampering period earlier this week. It's like the Eagles have two first round picks. They still have some money that they can kind of play with. You know, once they kind of figure out, you know, where they're going to slot Jalen Hurts, like they have some kind of wiggle room, you know, with the salary cap. There's no need to panic right now. Like, it's fine.
For the most part, you know, I think Eagles fans, Philly fans have evolved, especially since most of us, the majority of us, have vivid memories of the last championship winning season. Mm-hmm. So now that aura of just impatience and being impulsive, I think that is past. Whereas now we can, let's let this play out. Let's see how this goes. Whereas maybe 10 years ago, we're sitting here in the middle of March. What are they doing? Someone needs to get fired. What is happening? Why are we not, like, we should be past now as Eagles.
I think John might have cut out. But yeah, I think for the most part, I think Eagles fans have kind of gotten past that, you know, the doom and gloom thing, because again, fresh off a Super Bowl appearance.
No, they haven't, Roy. I'm serious. The benefit of the doubt, that phrase just does not exist in the vernacular or in the mind. I don't know, TJ Edwards signed with someone and people are like, Howie! I'm like, oh my God.
I get what you're saying, but we have this conversation, Chris, and welcome back, John. We have this conversation all the time. The knuckleheads that we see on Twitter, I don't think are indicative of Joe Public Eagles fan. Like, there's
yeah, no knucklehead
that we see on Twitter. Like, that's not real life.
So, like, what does someone at the barbershop and or
not the barbershop,
someone
the barbershop's crazy too.
Like, okay, all right. No, say like Twitter. I don't know, like the person next to you at a Target in Sicklerville or in Lansdale. Like, I don't know what are they saying? No, because like I feel that. A lot of people on Twitter like get in these silos where they just think like, I don't know, like, because thank God that there's a real world outside of the internet, because we'd be all screwed if like everyone thought like this. But no,
first of all, y'all getting into Eagles conversations at the Target in Sicklerville? I didn't know the Sicklerville Target was lit like that. Did y'all just
no, like say there's a line. No, say that they're no, like yeah, we'll lay it out there.
The self checkout line, you know, I might be wearing my.
Oh no, say there's a long line, and like I don't know, like you're just like I don't know, wait, you're like, and like Roy has his Chris Long Eagles jersey on,
right.
And like I don't know, the guy next to you, like I don't know, like Stranger John says, that's a dope jersey there, dude, and it's like, and then you're like, yo, I don't know, what is that conversation like, Stranger A to Stranger B at a place of business.
Well, you got to do the alternate universe bizarro version of me. Like, I know you're not an MCU guy, but like in the MCU multiverse, the version of me who would talk to somebody in public, that person would have a very reasonable conversation about the Philadelphia Eagles, and he would tell me that, you know, just like John said, in Howie we trust. Like, I think that's just, you know, this is the middle of March, in Howie we trust. He's got two first-round picks. We've seen, like, last offseason, they didn't have a whole bunch of cap money, and they got some stuff done. They signed Hassan Reddick. So it's like, you know what? Like, let's just let this man, like, do what he do, and then come back to me, you know, Memorial Day, and we can have a discussion.
Howie has earned his trust until he loses it. He has my trust until until he has another terrible offseason. Right now, let's see what's happening. Let's see who he's able to find. Let's see how he's able to manipulate the cap in order to keep some people, bring in some new names. I'm good right now. For the middle of March, I'm good. I'm all right with it so far.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good. I think we're at a good spot with the Eagles. Yeah. Again, not really concerned about what these other teams are doing yet. And I know the Giants and Cowboys and the Commanders, they made some moves, and that's cute or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Can I ask you a question real quick before?
Please ask us a question. Yes.
What has happened to every NFL fan base, not ours? I never knew 49ers fans were such whiners until this offseason. I mean, I am amazed by this. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to an entire offseason of 49ers fans crying and moaning. And I'm like, Jerry Rice should be ashamed of you. Joe Montana should be ashamed of you. Steve Young and T.O. should just want to, like,
these completely fans wouldn't know Garrison Hurst from Henry Hurst.
They're crying and whining. Like, I thought Cowboys fans were the biggest crybabies. Yeah. And this whole offseason has been 49ers fans saying, hey, hold my beer, as they just cried and whined. Like, have you noticed that? Like, have you seen that?
I'm gonna shoot them a little bit of bail. Again,
let me
shoot him a little bit of bail, because again, okay. I am not, I'm a reasonable guy, you know, whatever. Yeah. If I was on quarterback four and made it as far as the Niners did, I would probably feel a certain way. I'd probably feel a certain way if I was I would.
No,
I don't know if I'm public with it.
There was a stat that said, since Kyle Shanahan has started coaching, they have made it through one season with one quarterback. That's the backup that I don't feel sorry for. Like, I don't know. Like, if it was just this one, so apparently there must be some sort of flaw in his system.
Josh Johnson this year. Like, quarterbacks get hurt all the time. I mean, I'm sure like a third of starting quarterbacks at least miss a game every single season. They weren't Josh Johnson. I mean, it's like, I think at that level, I might feel some sort of way. Now, would I go public, John? Would I go on Twitter crying about it every single day? Like, I've seen a lot
every
of that.
Day.
No, I'm not.
Every
that.
Day crying.
No,
you got to own it.
No, I feel
every
that.
Every day.
No, it's also the players, too. A lot of the players are feeling a little salty. Like, I don't know. Players. When, like, you hear, like Debo Samuel and, like, I don't know, one of those other jabronis, like, I don't know, saying, oh, the Eagles' defense was overrated. It's like, God, like, I don't know, like, are you going to, like, take any sort of ownership that you got, like blown out of a championship game?
Here's the reality of it. Their coach, which everyone wants to call the golden boy, Mr. Innovative Offense, Mr. Yeah. Genius, Mr. Football Genius, got his quarterback killed. Got his quarterback killed. Got
every
his
year.
Quarterback
every
killed.
Year.
And the problem with it is, you're sitting here trying to tell other adult fans, we're all adults here, and you're trying to tell us in a game, a championship game, that you started with your third string quarterback, and then he gets knocked out the game, not on a fluke, not for a non-contact injury. He didn't, like, trip over the lines on the field and break his ankle or something. No. Your game plan got him killed. You then come with your fourth string quarterback, and you're trying to tell me in the game that you lost 31-7, you're trying to tell me with a straight face that if you had your fifth string quarterback, y'all would have blown us out.
Yeah.
Your fifth. Oh man, things would have been different if we were able to play our fifth string quarterback.
Yeah.
Just like, do you not realize I'm an adult? Do you not realize I'm a grown man? This is what you're telling me. A grown man.
I didn't know you were so worked up about that.
Yeah. This is the here's the because I feel like I feel like part of the problem was I wasn't able to give the Eagles the attention that they deserved as going into their Super Bowl because I kept getting dogged by whining 49ers fans crying over for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
no, about weren't. Why weren't we able to play our fifth string quarterback? We would have won. Oh my God, Brock Purdy. Who yeah. in the blue hell is Brock Purdy?
Yeah, now Nick Bosa was in his bag. Debo's in his bag. Bosa.
Like, where was Nick Bosa?
Yeah, no, it was
Nick Bosa got neutralized by a rugby player. That's what happened.
Yeah, no, I can't deny it. No, Niners fans are definitely in their bag, and like you said, like I thought Cowboys fans were the worst, but no, Niners
Cowboys
fans,
exactly. Like, Cowboys, look here's the problem with Cowboys fans, and
We don't have that much time to get into
the I understand. I'll make it real quick. First thing I always ask Cowboys fans, one, how old were you the last time the Cowboys won a championship?
Right.
I was in my 40s when the last Eagles championship. I'm still in my 40s. Mm-hmm. If you were in your 40s, you might have a child in their 40s when the Cowboys won the last championship.
Exactly.
No. Last Cowboys championship was on a channel that went off the air at 2 a.m. that day. Yeah, last Cowboys championship was followed by a special episode of Jake and the Fat Man.
There you go. I know you got the I think you're the, are you the one with the picture, the Cowboys Super Bowl pictures on the floppy disk?
Exactly. After the last Cowboys championship, you got on your Apple IIe and played Oregon Trail.
Oh man, we're talking with John Brown again, host.
Thank you. I appreciate this
podcast. Host
on the Broad Street line.
Yes,
hanging. Can I ask you a question?
Taking a ride Broad Street on a Broad Street line. Yes, sir.
Can I ask you a question? How you got a show called the Broad Street Line in a studio on Market Street?
No, see, the show existed before the studio. The studio got on the radio. We were doing this on the podcast. We've been in the game.
Why don't you call this the Market Frankfurt line? Can I make that show? Can I come up with that afterwards?
Can we? Well, you could I'll do this. You could do the Market. You could do the Market Frankfurt line if you will allow us to do like the Broad Street line Spur, because the Spur kind of goes near the radio station.
Yeah.
Can we get that?
All right. The Broad Street. Can I do that? The Broad Street Spur.
Exactly.
For real, for people who know about that subway ride to Chinatown.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
No, but check out John again on phillygoflow.com if you're a fan of throwback.
Monday through Friday. Yes, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. phillygoflow.com, playing old school music, playing that 90s, the 2000s, taking it back to really baggy jeans.
All the good
back when
stuff.
Back when you were wearing jeans that were four sizes too big.
Never stop, John.
And some Timberlands that weren't tied.
Never stop, John. Never stop. 2023, exactly. Never stop.
For people who never had a job that required Timberlands but still wore them every day.
Exactly. Exactly. JB, we could not have you on the show without getting into some wrestling talk.
Yes.
This is March. This is the middle of March. Yes. I saw the picture.
This is my March Madness. Yeah. Yes, I don't acknowledge the other March Madness anymore. That was because that was the OG March Madness when guys like Randolph Childress and Derek Phelps and Felipe Lopez ran our lives. Guys, I can't even remember. I can't even, and this isn't playing TV. I can't remember the last time I cared about tournament.
The man said Randolph Childress. He's talking about those Coach K on Genesis players right there.
Yes, Coach K basketball, baby.
Yes, yes, Lawrence Moten. Harry Kittles with the one high sock and the one low sock. Yes. I love you, bro. I love you. Give me more of that.
Now, JB, I saw the picture of you and your son acknowledging the tribal chief at Raw 30.
Yes. Yes.
Am I crazy? Talk me off the ledge if you have to.
Okay.
Am I crazy for thinking that this bloodline angle, this long-running bloodline angle, is the most compelling story in wrestling history? Talk me off the ledge if you got to. Or back me up on this. Let me know where you stand.
Honestly, I might have to go out on a ledge with you. I think WWE got one with this one.
Yeah.
They got one. You know, not since probably the beginning. Before Eric Bischoff ruined the NWO by putting every mid-card Carter in it. You know, back.
Shout out to Scott Norton.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Scott Norton, Buff Bagwell, Horace Hogan. You know,
Brother Brutai, shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, I'm going back, and off the top of my head, honestly, I can't think of writing like a storyline like this. You know, the bloodline has just been great. Mm-hmm. You know, and it goes all the way back, you know, to the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
You know, when they was out there performing in front of TV sets, a bunch of TV sets with people's faces in them. This has been great. This has been entertaining television. This has been good, just better than good. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's like, I'm not sure where Roman Reigns is at now in his reign, mm-hmm. but every day of it has been exciting.
And you think of
what people thought of John Cena. What would people be like at the end of a 900-day John Cena reign?
Right, right. You shouldn't feel this fresh 900
yeah, exactly, days. Yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly, exactly. So if you want to call this the greatest storyline in wrestling history, I won't argue.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the support. Now, let me
ask John, sorry. And John, as someone who is probably, like, I don't know, seen a lot of storylines and a yeah. lot of, like, I don't know, ways that feuds have ended. Are you going to be okay with the way that this storyline, this series, I feel like it's like a mini series because I feel like it's been going, like, I feel like it's been going on for a couple of years. Are you going to be, like, satisfied when this ends? And like, you could put a qualifier on when you think it ends. I think we all know when it ends, but like, are you okay with the person who's going to end it and the way that they're kind of going about it?
I think it honestly, it depends on how it ends. And it might be like, I'll give you an example. I was somebody who was against Brock Lesnar breaking the Undertaker streak when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something I became cool with as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you had checked my Twitter, I'm not even sure if I was even on Twitter or Facebook. If you checked my social media the night Brock Lesnar broke the Undertaker streak, I was just in complete disbelief. And then afterwards, then later on, as I thought about it, I'm like, all right, you know, this is good stuff.
Right.
At one point in time, I thought the only person who could break who could end Roman's reign was The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, fast forward a couple of months. Now I'm sitting here. I'm like, only person who can end it is Jay.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Jay. Can't be Sammy. It absolutely cannot be Cody.
Absolutely cannot be Cody.
It can't be Cody. I like Cody and I hope Cody gets a run. Like, I think if Jay was the person to defeat him, to end the reign, and then Cody defeats Jay, I'd be cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like if Jay ends the run, Jay doesn't need a 1,000-day reign.
Right, right.
But I, you know, at this point now, I'm like, I would be upset if Cody ended the streak at WrestleMania. I think it needs to be Jay.
So anybody but Jay. So obviously you wouldn't have been a fan of, you know, Sammy, because people wanted Sammy to break it in the Elimination Chamber.
And honestly, I wanted Sammy. Like, once it became obvious that it wasn't going to be The Rock,
mm-hmm.
once it became obvious it's not going to be The Rock, then I'm like, okay, all right. Then I started leaning towards Sammy. But then as time went on, I'm like, no, okay, it's got to be Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Jay has to, you know, if you want to bring this full circle,
mm-hmm.
it's
from the Thunderdome. From the Thunderdome. Like, no, I feel like if you're trying to, like, tell a Sopranos-esque, like, I don't know, like, where, like, Tony gets, I don't know, like, whacked by Christopher. Like, I feel that, like, I don't know, if you want to do the super, like, I don't know, like the payoff to people that watch watch wrestlers wrestle in front of television. That would be, I feel that, like, I don't know. I there's a part of me that does agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's got to be Jay. I think it's going to be one of those situations like you remember when Kofi and Daniel Bryan, where you weren't sure if they were going to pull the trigger.
Right.
But eventually they pulled the trigger. So it's got, you know, it doesn't have to be WrestleMania. You know, I wouldn't mind if it was SummerSlam, wouldn't mind if it was King of the Ring or what, you know, whatever. But I think at this, you know, at some point in time, I think Cody goes, you know, Roman goes over at WrestleMania. There's still some friction. I think, like, if you ask me for my prediction, I would say, all right, Usos lose the titles at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Jimmy eats the pin. Mm-hmm. Jimmy has to eat the pin.
Agreed.
Roman goes over, blames Jimmy for losing the tag titles.
Right.
Jay comes to Jimmy's aid, and that's what starts the friction.
So a little bit of friction there. Okay.
Yeah, because it has always been Jay willing to stand up. Jay showing a little bit of backbone to Roman.
Right.
But his weak spot has always been Jimmy.
Correct. Right.
You know, so Roman knows that in order to get to Jay, he has to go through
Jimmy. Has to go through Jimmy, right.
Yeah. The key to getting to Jay is Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman knows this. And I think that's been part of the storyline. You look at how look at the conversation we're having right now. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a storyline in wrestling, like it's like it's The Wire, like it's The Sopranos,
Young and the Wrestlers.
Yeah,
I
called it. I called it Samoan Family Matters.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And there are people who are out. Like, once again, shout out to my man Mike Jones. Mike Jones hates wrestling. It's all good. It's cool. I can never talk wrestling on Jonesy and Brown. You know, but so that's why I enjoy. That's why I'm never getting off your show. I'm
always got a home. Always have a home to talk wrestling here. Exactly. Always.
Now that I have the link, just expect me to just pop onto your show every week.
Doors open. But
yeah, but just the fact that look at how we're talking about this, and so many people are invested. So many people have opinions, and that's what's been great about it.
Yeah,
that's what's been great about this storyline.
No, it's been fantastic. And like you said, you could spin it any different way, like the Sammy way, the Cody way, the Jay way. Like, you could spin it 18 different directions, and nobody's wrong. But again, we have, like, part of the great part of wrestling is, you know, the whole fantasy booking aspect. Like, what would you do if you had to pen? What would you do if you had to book? And again, you can spin this 18 different ways and make it a compelling story, or even more compelling than it has been so far. And again, kudos to WWE for making it last this long, because that's special in its own right. Outside of Roman, Cody, and WrestleMania, is there a match or two in particular that you're looking forward to in a couple of weeks?
Nah, man, just give me the Bloodline and skip everything else. give me 2 4-hour matches between night one. Give me the Usos versus Kevin and Sammy for a four-hour Iron Man match.
There you go.
See, I think we found another honorary Us. I feel like, I don't know, we uncovered the next honorary Us.
Oh yeah, I'm feeling Usy. I'm feeling real Usy.
you're telling me we can't get a 2-hour Iron Man match between, you know, the Usos and Sammy and Kevin, and a 2-hour Iron Man match between Lesnar and Omos? Like, we can't split it up day one? We can't get an Omos Iron Man match for 2 hours? Yeah.
Once again, as you know, as the viewers of this podcast, the people watching, I have a Morgan State hat on. Morgan State is where Omos played basketball at for like a season or something. There, at least he played long enough to at least get his picture taken with a uniform on. And I don't think he has a degree or anything like that. But so I have a soft spot for Omos.
But
good Lord, no one wants to see that. I see, you know. Omos versus Brock Lesnar, that's your nobody's perfect match of WrestleMania. That, hey, as great as this Bloodline thing has been going, you also get Brock Lesnar versus Omos.
Somebody got to eat
while Bobby Lashley, which I wouldn't mind actually a good Lesnar Lashley match.
Blame Yeah, blame Bray Wyatt for that, because I feel that, like, I don't know, you should have gone for the rubber match.
It's not Bray's fault, no, because no, they wanted Lesnar versus Austin. Austin said no, and then they pivoted. That's the story.
And this is also, and I hope, you know, in my fantasy booking, in my fantasy wrestling know-it-all sort of way, look, the whole Austin Kevin Owens thing last year, it was cool, but Steve Austin's old.
Let these young guys cook.
It is what it is, man. That brother's old. Yeah. And there's other, and I don't mind. You know, give me Steve Austin driving his little four wheeler to the ring, getting drunk in the ring, pouring beer all over him, something, getting right back on the four wheeler and going right back to the back. That's all. I don't need Austin match in 2023. You know, give me an appearance. Let him give one person a stunner. Like, right. You remember what was that year that he gave Xavier Woods the stunner when he was dancing with the New Day? Give me that. That's all I need. I don't need a match. I don't need Austin versus Lesnar in 2023. No. I mean, that would have been cool in 2003,
right.
but not 2023. We need that.
No, we definitely don't need that. But maybe I can change your mind, because maybe, you know, next year WrestleMania 4 is here. And yes. Again, I'm telling you right now, I'm putting this in a question. This is just a notice, all right? We got 13 months. We got Wally Mania. We got probably the Undertaker Dead Man Show. We probably got the Hall of Fame induction. We got Raw.
I'm going to Smack, something. I don't know what it is. I will get
No, I'm telling you, if I don't see you at like three of these things, Oos, it's going to be a problem.
There's absolutely no way that WrestleMania is going to come to Philly and I watch it all on television. I'm going to see something. I'm going to get into something, whether it's day one, you know, and maybe I need to start a little fund right now. You know, maybe I need to start putting a little bit of money, because I know it ain't going to be cheap.
No.
I know it ain't going to be cheap, but, you know, look, I'll be Theo Huxtable about this. You know, I can get by on bologna and cereal. That's going to be me for as long as I got to. I'm getting into something.
Absolutely. No, looking forward to seeing you down there again at some.
You'll see. Things. Look, man, I'll roll with you. You know?
All right. Well, we're going to roll together. We're going to go to All Access together.
There we go. I'm getting into something. Something will see. There will be some sort of event, and I will be in the place.
Looking forward to it. Again.
There's too much going on.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be crazy that week. Again, it's gonna be a wild week.
That's gonna be crazy.
Next April 2024, WrestleMania 40 at Lincoln Financial Field. We got about a minute or so to go. So JB, before we get out of here, just let us know again how we can kind of find all your work and what you got coming up these next few weeks.
Look, first of all, you can tell me how great I did on the Broad Street Line by contacting me on Twitter at JLB from DVM. That's the easiest way. You can find me right now. If you got your phone in your hand while you're listening to this show, go to JLB from DVM on Twitter and say, hey, I heard you on the Broad Street Line and you're great. You can help me. Can also check me out 2 to 6 Monday through Friday on PhillyGoFlow.com. Play throwback hip hop and R&B all day long. That good music that your parents used to listen to back in the day when they were going to school dances and watching Fresh Prince of Bel Air on NBC. You can listen to Cowboys fans. This is all the music that you was listening to when last time y'all won a championship. So if you're a Cowboys fan, you can listen to my show 2 to 6 PhillyGoFlow.com. If you want to hear me talk about sports, like I said, I got a lot of stuff to plug. I know you said I don't
got a lot, man. You got a lot.
BITWsports.com. That's where you go. That's where you can subscribe to all my podcasts. I'm on a whole bunch, but it's just me. All right. You'll hear a whole bunch of different podcasts, a whole bunch of different titles. It's me on all of them. You know, it is what it is. I try to, you know, add a little variety to it. But BITWsports.com, PhillyGoFlow.com, or at JLB from DVM on Twitter.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you coming through.
Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. You know, that's how StreamYard works. You hit the little button that says leave studio. I'm not leaving.
We got to turn the lights out on this man.
No, and you're going to come back here next week to take your show. Josh's still here.
John's gonna be like that fresh Prince meme where, like, I don't know, he's like, yo, we're leaving, and then, like, I don't know, John's just alone in like there. John's just alone in the living room,
just sitting here in the room by my. What comes on after you? Do you know what comes on after you?
Well, I don't know what comes on after us anymore.
Okay, yeah, well, so, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to be on that show, too. I'm just going to be there. I'm like, I don't know this guy, John Brown. He was just here when I got here, but that's me. That's
what I'm doing. No, but John, appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming through,
Thank you, man.
Thanks, John.
Hey, Chris, we are out of here. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. 106.5 FM, WPPM, LP, Philadelphia. But until next week, we are done. Mr. Domingo, take us out, please.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
See you guys.
When you stay at a Vrbo, you always get the whole home, the whole upstairs, the whole downstairs, and the whole nap room. Only Whole Vacation Homes, always all yours. Book on the Vrbo app.